you can't open the paper, check your mobile phone, or even turn on the radio without hearing about some form of conflict in our country and world. Just recently, in the last couple of weeks, we've heard about the conflict and protests in Ferguson and the ongoing conflict and violence in Iraq, Syria, and Ukraine. And we're waiting to see what happens in Ukraine. Many of us wake up in the morning knowing that we'll face conflict in our workplaces. And we even face conflict at home, from everything from financial decisions to different standards of cleanliness. One of the places that I think conflict can feel most jarring and disappointing is at church. And many, if not most of us, have been in churches where there have been bitter conflicts, deep and bitter conflicts. And I know some of you, and you've told me these stories, have been in churches that have split over strong differences of opinion. Aren't Christians supposed to love each other? About 10 years ago, I spent a week in Maryland with some folks from the Lombard Mennonite Peace Institute. And I was joined by about 25 other, mostly pastors, who were interested in how they might deal with conflict in their faith communities in life-giving ways. And some of their churches were bitterly split, and so they wondered, were there ways, concrete ways, other than prayer, that they could work as agents of healing and reconciliation in those faith communities and also train others to do the same thing. One of the first assignments that we received was to open the Bible and look for conflict. And guess what? It appeared right away in Genesis, and continued throughout the whole Bible. It was in the early church. Those who want to romanticize things and go back to the early church just need to open the book of Acts and see right away Ananias and Sapphira deciding to not tell anybody about the money that they made on the sale of their property, or the deep differences of opinion among the earliest Jews who followed Jesus about what Gentiles needed to do to become followers of Jesus. Did they need to become Jewish first or not? I think that, as I saw with the Mennonites and in my experience with faith communities, these last 15 years as a pastor, and even before that, as a member of many different churches, that conflict is a part of the story of God and God's people. And conflict is part of our lives. While many of us dread conflict, conflict need not always be a dreadful thing. The very fact that conflict exists means that people care. They actually care about things. People are invested in something that means something to them deeply, whether that be a political position or decision or a particular style of worship. If there was no conflict in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our churches, it would mean either that no one cared, that we were kind of a bunch of limp bodies, or that everyone was too afraid to speak out for things they believed in, which isn't healthy. Even more tragically, a church without different points of view out in the open can't do true discernment. We can't listen for God's voice among many voices without weighing all options prayerfully. Today's gospel from Matthew is all about conflict and how to handle it in church communities, but I think that Jesus's teaching here could also be applied to our workplaces and homes. This process is so simple. It has three steps. If you have an issue with someone, including a disagreement, first, speak to them directly. Imagine that. No telling everybody else how that other person hurt you or bugs you, and no being nice to their face and then stabbing them in the back, but speak to them directly. And our vestry always covenants, no parking lot conversations. Say it in the room. Let's have enough trust with one another, and our faith community is counting on us to air all different opinions in this room. Let's do that. If the person that you have gone to one-on-one won't listen to you, Jesus then says, bring one or more witnesses with you, somebody who has seen the person in question engage in harmful or destructive acts toward others, toward the church, toward whatever, something destructive. And this conversation should be straightforward and done in a spirit of love and mutual respect. If the person in question won't listen to you and another person from the faith community, in our case, if they won't listen to the wardens as well, and they're continuing to hurt people and act in dysfunctional and destructive ways, they must leave. The church is like a body made up of many cells. And as you know from biology, if a cell becomes cancerous and isn't treated, it will infect the whole body. The stakes are too high for the important work God has called us to. And if we truly love the person who's being destructive, we don't just turn away, but we actually address the issue. Not loving the person would be to let them be destructive toward others and to hurt themselves. In church conflicts, as well as other conflicts in our lives, it's important to remember that we're not taking these steps alone. The Holy Spirit, as well as the crucified and risen Christ, is with us and is with us when we go into difficult situations. What we have to offer is our knowledge and experience of God and the story of God and God's people, a story of God's inexhaustible love and grace. It's a story of a God who gave his all, including his life, so that nothing would separate us from God and one another. In Jesus, we are able to see the human face of God. It's not a face of judgment and disappointment, but a face of compassion. It's compassion so deep and wide that God continues to come to us where we are, to share our place, and to not only celebrate with us, but also to suffer with us. In Jesus, God chose to enter a world not only of beauty, joy, and possibility, but also a world of division, conflict, and violence. He lived and spoke God's truth, and for this he was persecuted and eventually killed. Rather than seeking retribution for his suffering and death, Jesus absorbed the world's hatred and violence. And by doing so, he showed us a way out of the endless cycle of retribution and violence that we see in so many places around our world. Through Jesus, God gave us a way forward through the conflicts that can eat us up and literally destroy us. As Paul's second letter to the Corinthians tells us, Jesus gives us the gift of reconciliation, making it possible for us and others to have a fresh start, a clean slate. Through the life and ministry of Jesus, we and others are offered the possibility of becoming a new creation in Christ. And because God loves us first and unconditionally, regardless of our background and beliefs, we are freed from the divisions and the distance that can arise between us and other people who are different from us or have different ideas about how things should be done. On the cross, Jesus' arms are open wide, not only to embrace us individually, but to unite all who are willing across differences in our society and world. While we don't have any control over how others will act or treat us in response, we do have ourselves the freedom from Christ to love others as he loves us. And in that freedom, we don't expect others to become like us, and we don't see them as objects of manipulation and judgment, but we recognize God's presence in them. In our culture, most of the images of God are serene and peaceful. I just think of the religious card section of Hallmark or Target alone. We have images of sunsets, of footprints in the sand, of a Western European looking Jesus petting some sheep. But the Bible contains a story not often found on or in Hallmark cards. God is with us when we find ourselves in the middle of conflict, suffering, and estrangement, the worst that life throws at us. This is the God we know from the cross, the God who does not abandon us to injustice and suffering, but who enters into it with us and gives us a way out. I imagine that there's more than one person here this morning with a heavy heart. More than one person weighed down by exhaustion, guilt, and shame, by conflicts they are immersed in and can't seem to get out of. You might be worn out from fights with your family, neighbors, and coworkers. You may mourn what appears to be the increasing fragmentation of American society, feeling little hope for unity and reconciliation. Maybe you even look forward to the beautiful and uplifting aspects of our communal worship as an escape, as a temporary respite, or a boost to get through this next week. But at the heart of our worship is a symbol that is not beautiful, but ugly, ugly, the cross. And no matter how much we dress it up, no matter how much gold we put on it, the cross was a tool of cruelty and death. For those who desire to follow the way of Jesus, however, it's a reminder that God has joined us in Christ, stepping into places of division and pain, offering us a way out other than exhaustion, bitterness, and disillusionment. While so many people see our world as a place of scarcity, of competition for limited resources, God sees our world as a place of abundance. God offers God's self abundantly to us in the meal we will share together shortly, breaking our lives open with the bread and the wine so that we may be healed. God breaks us open so that we may share in the healing of our families, our neighborhoods, and our workplaces. You might be thinking, I'm not good enough, faithful enough, or strong enough to participate in this healing work that you're talking about. You don't need to be good enough, faithful enough, or strong enough. God chose you first. God has bound God's self to you and will give you everything you need to participate in God's healing work if you are willing to trust. And I know that's asking for a lot of trust. All around us are neighbors in need of healing. Many of them would never think of coming to church, let alone this church. We need to go to them, as so many of you are already doing. We need to join them where they are, listen deeply to their stories and struggles, and share our stories and the hope that is in us when we are asked. We don't go alone. Jesus promises to join us there. Amen.